Just noticed that we are now recording. Sorry, everyone, for that little
Okay.
notification that's come up on everyone's computer, but we were not recording before. So that is happening shortly afterwards. And the other thing that's happening very, very soon is tomorrow we kick
The other
off
thing that's
with
happening, putting in progress.
tomorrow.
We
Sorry, Rachel, can you mute yourself? I'm trying to mute you, but I can't seem to do that. So if I could ask Rachel, please
and who's
unmute
vanished?
yourself on my behalf, that would be great. Do that. So, great.
Vanished.
Can't yourself on my part. That would be. I can't seem to do it. Mute. I can't mute Rachel. Okay, I'm gonna keep. Oh, there we go. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you very much. That's done. What was I saying? Oh yes. Can I just make sure that everyone does mute themselves, please? That would be really wonderful. Thank you very much. Also happening this weekend, tomorrow, we are kicking off with the online version of Ultimate Healing Part One. So what that means is we have a new cohort of people going through the self-healing aspect of the Ultimate Healing course. And this will run over the next few months. I think maybe 4 or 5 months, is it, Peter? It's a long time. Where
About 5, I think,
Peter,
yeah.
yeah, well, Peter will be guiding everybody through the content of the online material from Ultimate Healing Part One, the self-healing aspect, prior to the point holding. So you will understand all of the fundamental principles that underlie everything that get you to the point where you are ready to press points and more. And anybody who has completed the online Ultimate Healing or in-person Ultimate Healing or Body Electronics point holding before, you are welcome to join in with this cohort. Also, please do check your emails because you will have been notified. And obviously, the benefits of joining in with the cohort is you get encouragement and accountability to move yourself forward through the content, as well as looking for those new corners and crevices of all of those things that you need to discreate and all of the things that you want to create. So you can come and join us, join the webinars live, be coached by Peter in the hot seats, etc., as we work through that content. So you are welcome to join. We start tomorrow. Is there anything else that you would like me to announce, Peter, before you get going?
There's nothing else we can announce and what I've put out yet. But I
Okay. Can I please just
will
ask one
mention,
thing?
though, that I've just put up a whole new section of Codens on the Codens page. You can look up to new stuff, which is a good time for this kind of upcoming workshop.
So new codams on the web pages. I'll get that link and I'll get that added to the chat very, very shortly. The only other thing, Peter, could you please move the lid of your computer so that the camera gets all of you? Because we love to see you.
Which way I want to go there?
There we
Can't
go.
just see
That's
the
wonderful.
screen. I don't
I
fit
don't believe
Well, from my little
that at
picture,
all.
all I can see is a bit part of my head. It doesn't seem to fit into the
All
picture.
right. So thank you very much, everyone, for being very flexible and allowing the Q&A to happen at a very odd time. But we will be departing from Thailand to make our way to Peru, as long as along with some of you as well, so that it wasn't possible to hold the Q&A next weekend. So thank you very much for your flexibility. And Peter, I'm going to pass over to you and we will get going with today's topics.
Okay. Are you going to highlight me? Would you
Yep,
like
I'll
to
do that
highlight
now.
myself?
But no, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it now
Okay.
for you. Yep, 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 yep. There you go.
So, hello. So, we're talking about, like Harry and what we were talking about on those who did the actual webinar about the Ultimate Healing course, about power loss. Because a lot of people have now had that little course. So, I want to go a bit further with that. Give people a chance to ask questions about it so you can actually understand it. What we're looking at is the weapons of control of how people take power from you. And these have always been the same. There's different ways of doing it. But when you look at them from since right at the beginning, people started manipulating each other. They're the same tools of control. What I want to talk about more today is that of image manipulation. People create an image of what a good person is like. If you're not that, something wrong with you. It's actually quite a manipulation, and it applies in so many different ways. So I'm quite small and innocent. Like, I remember one time, for instance, I was playing poker with a girlfriend, and she was saying, "If you had any balls, you'd raise the stakes." Which just means she's got a good hand, basically. That was me raise the stakes, but the obvious. But straight away, it's like if you don't do it, something wrong with you. You haven't got the balls, or whatever it is. So you can see these are playing small ways like that. But look how it works in the New Age when people say, "Oh, don't be angry. You're not a spiritual person," or whatever it is. Well, of course, you can be angry with a spiritual person. Just because you suddenly try to be spiritual doesn't mean your anger disappears. That's about how you express it. What they're saying is don't be assertive. if you're not being angry, you're not being assertive, you can be more easily controlled, thoughtful over. You see how people have these little manipulations to get used to do what they want or to get you not to do something that they don't want. See what I mean? So it's about image. They try to have an image of what you should be. Yet, is there anything you should be? Yourself, yes. If you're trying to be anything but yourself, then that's something wrong. You're losing power. So all these image manipulations about trying to tell you what to be. Now, with impending war coming up, you can understand quite clearly how the government can work with this one. If you don't do your job as a citizen, there's something wrong with you. You know, if you're not being a good citizen, whatever it is, or you're a coward, you know, all these different things are going to get you to go and try and kill yourself for them, you know, whatever. It's like ridiculous to look at it. They want you to give your life to somebody else's ideal you don't even know, and it's probably just about making some money out of you and they don't care about you. Yeah, they expect you to actually give your life away. And then they'll try and make a manipulation and say, if you don't do this, there's something wrong with you. You're not a good person, or a cat, you're a coward, whatever it is. All these strange manipulations go on, and it's all about image. When people create an image of what you should be, you don't live up to it. You start feeling something wrong with you. It actually attaches to a kind of shame that we conditioned into. And the shame is basically the feeling that there's something wrong with you. You're defective in some way. And this is one thing that's being really triggered and used and manipulated. And this is one thing we have to heal as you go through our courses. You know, we're trying to get rid of the root of shame, this feeling something wrong with you. Well, you find these two things go hand in hand. Quite often you're ashamed because you've been told you're wrong, because you're not doing what somebody else wants. It's all about power loss when you look at it. So the power loss and the shaming seem to go together. Two things we have to deal with. Quite often then when you're actually taking back power for somebody, you're realizing there's also shame to give back. Somebody's made you feel bad about who you are so they can control you. That's a big one, there is. Of course, there's the various lies from people actually not honest with their reason for doing something. And where would they be? If they're actually honest about why they're doing something, you probably wouldn't do it. Simple example is things like self-pity. Why do people do self-pity? Because it's not just a feeling, it's something they're doing. See, you can have grief and sadness and deal with it in certain ways, but you're in self-pity, you're just wallowing in it and not doing anything. There's certain things you're doing, like manipulating. But if you're honest with that, it wouldn't work, would it? It's like if I sit here feeling sorry for myself and you come and say, what's the matter unless I'm manipulating you, you're not going to have it. So instead, I've got to go with all my sob stories to get you feeling sorry for me so I can get you to do what I want. So you can see how this dishonesty goes with it. In order to control people, you're not being honest with why you're doing it. And the thing is, when you withhold information from somebody, you take away the information they need to make the best choices for themselves. So all kinds of lies and misinformation or just withholding information all goes with the other tools, just letting them to control you. So the important thing about this old work of taking your power back is to recognize that there is nothing you should be apart from yourself. And you should be focusing what you want to do, what your goals are in life, rather than have somebody else take those goals away to fulfill their goals for them. That's all it's all about when you look at it. And it doesn't matter who they are. Even though it's supposed to be authorities, they're still doing this. And there's no reason why you should be above yourself in your decisions. After all, is there any more of a god than you? And who knows better than you what your life is about and where you want to go, what your potential is, and your dreams about what you want to create. So really, nobody has the authority to tell you that you're doing something wrong. Yes, if there's something you want to do, and they point out there's a better way of doing this, that's a different thing. But if they say, no, don't do that because you're a bad person, it's all manipulation. Taking power away, again, shaming you. Because they make you feel there's something wrong with you. That's a big one. The shame and the power loss tend to go together. Those two together are what's holding you back and stopping you from actually getting out there, mastering your life and creating your dreams. It's a big part of it. Another big part is, as I pointed out, on the course of the altruism. I'll talk a bit more about that so people see how it actually works. See, it's based on compassion, that we do have feelings for other people. We do care about other people in the world. But this can be twisted to say if you don't do what we want, in other words, sacrifice yourself for our needs, then you're selfish. But actually, altruism is not about sacrifice. Yes, you can care about people and, of course, the world and about the whole. It does not mean neglecting the self. Because if everybody was to sacrifice themselves for everybody else, who could possibly benefit? If somebody to benefit and be made to feel so guilty about you, it would never be worth it. So altruism is a twisted concept of compassion. It doesn't work. It's false. Again, it's manipulation. People trying to tell you that if you don't sacrifice your needs for the greater whole, which is not a greater whole, it's some particular people in charge, then you're selfish or there's something wrong with you, you're lacking. Again, it's the shaming. It's again, this image manipulation goes with it. If you don't do what they say, you're not the right person. There's something wrong with you. It all comes back to that in the end, if you look at these different other tools. It comes back to being who you are rather than what somebody else thinks you should be. I'm trying to tell you you're wrong if you're not that. Now, a big part of the control is about controlling some of our basic instincts, which we tend to come into adolescence. There's a reason why we become rebellious as adolescents, because when the sex instinct wakes up, it also gives you individual direction, separate from your parents' will. It's an important part of individualization. That's the point they start to try and crush you. Don't like to be rebellious. Because when you're rebellious, you're finding your will rather than what somebody else is telling you to do. And this is natural, it's what you're meant to do. That's how we become individuals about our path in life. Those who wish to control are going to use that point to crush you and tell you you're wrong to be rebellious. This is the first start of it. When you were a teenager and rebellious, you weren't wrong. It's natural. Doesn't mean you give permission to be rebellious because they don't need permission. That's an oxymoron in a way. If you need permission, you're not rebelling. You shouldn't really care whether somebody thinks you should do or not. That's about what rebellion's about. This natural instinct really actually coming into your own power. If you didn't do it as a teenager, but then it still needs to be done, it'll come back up as you take your power back. And that's important thing to realise. We should all have the ability to actually say no, to follow our will rather than somebody else's. If it's crushed at adolescence, that's often where we start losing our power. And the manipulation gets worse these days. I mean, back in my day, I'm sure a lot of you remember this when you were young, it's like we all did it. We all went through trouble with our parents and teachers and things, and it was normal. But now they almost try and medicate for you, or think it's a psychiatric problem. They've even got a name for it, DDD, disobedient defiant disorder. Try to say you're mentally ill if you actually rebel. Again, another huge manipulation, trying to say there's something wrong with you. That's when you're most vulnerable, you see. But actually, luckily, when you are actually coming up to those hormones waking up, you usually tell them to fuck off anyway. You know, it's like you're not going to have it. But a lot of people are being controlled at that point. That's a problem. This is where you start losing power. So if you're doing this work and taking your power back, it's well worth going back to those times, puberty, around the adolescence. Who made you feel wrong that you were wrong then? Were you stopped in your rebellion? Because if you didn't rebel, you're not standing in your power. Basically, that's simple. A lot of times they tell you not to rebel, but I'm saying no. Well, this is how we come into our power. Doesn't mean you've spent all your life rebelling, but you have to go through it to find out who you are, what you're here to do, what your will is, your principles, your direction. At some point, you're going to find that, which you don't find if you're still doing what somebody else says. Now, in the end, we are going to cooperate with others because we have a place that fits in, but not as a cog in the wheel. It's a very complex creation when you look at how everybody's skills fits with everybody else's. It's not something you can control and say, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. You fit in, but not like a cog in the wheel. You first have to be an individual, find your power, then you see when you fit into a bigger picture where you can create miracles. So having said that, let's go over the questions now. I'm sure a lot of people have read about these things now from the course I was giving out. If not this, any other aspect of my work. So any questions now?
Yep, thank you very much, Peter. And just to let you know, everybody, that I have put a few links in the chat that I was talking about right before, and that is the link to the workshop that is happening shortly after the Q&A, and also the link to the new CODAM empowerments that you can take a look at. So going over to the questions now, thank you very much. Question number one, what areas do we most need to protect ourselves, avoid, or find alternatives apart from health? For example, are our bank accounts safe? Can we avoid the threat of forced smart meter installation? And if not, what is the best way to protect our home from invasive EMFs and AI?
Well, first of all, you can say no to smart meters. You don't have to have them. They might pressurize you, but you don't have to have them. No, I'd say don't have them. They are bringing negative energies in. They can, you know, and they are damaging. They've been proven to actually do damage to health, yet they're still pushing them. So you can't say no to those. Now, the other things, okay, like impending war and so on, and all the other stuff going on. And it is time to really stand in your own power and say no to things. Let's look at this whole concept of impending war. Although it's the people in charge creating it, it can't happen if the people don't go. They almost say you've got to go to war if they conscript you. But, you know, you can be a conscientious objector. There's a good example here. You know, you always have will. You know, they might pressurize you, but you can always say no. And you consider the consequences. Is avoiding those consequences really worth it for what they're going to do to you? Take away your power, possibly your life, destroy your health in so many different ways. You know, that constantly what the government is doing now is always trying to, is really destructive, look at it. Trying to force you into vaccines, create the lockdowns, run your personality, run your business, but send you off to get killed. It's like, why should you agree to them? Anything they do. And actually, I decided a few years ago already that the greatest number one rule of survival in this age is not to believe anything the state tells you. They are on a massive destruct here, basically. And there's no reason to follow them in any way because they're destroying you. Smart breeders you can say no to. The travel things going on, you know, it's like, okay, there's our possibilities for another lockdown, but it looks like it's been handled in a different way already. A lot of people won't believe the same old stuff anymore. And there seems to be a different reason behind them. There is a cleanup going on. There are certain, you know, organizations and military and so on who are actually looking at this corruption has been doing all this. There's different people being arrested here and there. They're finding out the root of it all, and sometimes a lockdown says they can arrest people. That's to close things down, stop them escaping. And it's much shorter now. So there is change going on already. Best way to protect yourself is first is not believe anything the state tells you. Then you can actually start finding your own knowledge. Yes, you can protect against all these poisons and vaccines and so on through the right herbs. I've spoken about these a few times in my previous blogs and so on. There are herbs you can take. Also remembering that the viruses that are going around are not the cause of illness. The fear is a big part of what destroys the immune system. Not believing them, not giving your power away is the first step of actually protecting yourself. See, out of the basic tools of control they use, yes, force is only one of them. That alone won't work if people rebel because it's they've got to put people into actually giving the power away so they can actually do it. And the big one is fear. And all these fears are false. They create all kinds of false fears to keep them under control. That's it, don't believe any of it. It's like you don't want to take the vaccine, it's actually dangerous, it's going to control you. It's got the graphene in it, which is about programming. You don't want to know what the virus itself wasn't that dangerous. You know, people are overcoming quite naturally, and those who took the vaccine actually seem to be worse off. So it's like, you know, why would you want to do anything they say? Don't believe any of it. So first of all, don't let them talk you into fear. Some of the kind of restrictions you're going to go through can be quite short. You don't want to get what we need. Rather than actually give in to a, say, habit of access to travel, just don't wait. It'll soon pass. You can just still stay where you are, take your time, and just don't be intimidated. And just in their own space, just remember to say no to things. You know, you can still avoid all the unhealthy foods and all the chemicals that go into everything. You can just make your choices. And you basically stand up and stand your ground, say no to them. Main things of protecting yourself from really are lies. That's the start of it all. So if you don't believe the lies, you have no fear. And when there's no fear, your immune system is strong. The two that destroys the immune system are fear and shame. When you look at shame, it'll make you feel bad about yourself, so don't believe any of that. Give the shame back. If you're not afraid of the lies anymore, then again, it's not working the immune system. So your immune system is very much linked to a will to live. When you don't really want to live, your kind of relationship to bacteria changes because we have this important relationship with all bacteria in this world. They're part of my life cycle, their digestion, everything. But also when you die, they're part of the decay. It's when your will to live goes down that they start decaying. You have all these horrible diseases. They change form according to the condition you're holding inside yourself. So if there's no will to live, that's when you stop dying. And you lose your will to live because you're afraid, life is too scary, or because you feel unworthy, undeserving, and your will to live goes down from those. Deal with those, your immune system is strong. And so when you are not afraid of those things, you're not afraid of manipulation, they can't control you. That's the big one. Remember, the biggest tools of control are the fear and the lies. So protect yourself physically, use herbs and things, strengthen your system to neutralize those spike proteins and so on. The main thing is, don't live in fear. Take your power back, give back the shame, do your own research and make your own decisions of what's really going on, and don't believe what the state is saying or the papers, because they're all part of it, all part of the same agenda. And a big part of understanding how that works is to realise the actual commercial nature of it all. What a lot of people don't realise is that governments are actually registered corporations. Any of you who are in business who probably have these search and companies that actually check a business out, what they're doing, you can look it up and you can realise, yeah, these are all corporations. They run for profit. Governments sell legislation. And the reason that they do automated, for somebody's paying for them. Big companies, which means they're selling on human rights. So none of their legislation is made really with your good in mind. It's all commercial. Even the kind of what they call the factory account. This is a business too. The big companies pay for what facts have to be put out there and what have to be filtered. It's all buyable. So it's like, you can't believe any of it. It's all commercial. We're in this capitalistic society. And we can live in that if you actually realise how it works. It means that you're not believing it because it's like they're trying to sell you something or sell, or want to sell you. Selling human rights is a big one. And you know, quite a lot of these companies function not actually selling anything real. They're calling you out of your human rights and sell those. Selling information, personal details, all those things is pretty much how much of the business is running these days. The thing is simply to wake up to realize how it works. You can function within this if you don't actually buy into it. The big secret about society in general is that we have to learn to live within it without being overly controlled by it. You see, society is first made with three basic functions. It's supposed to protect us from chaos, provide a safe place for us to fulfill our needs and desires, and thirdly, it has to actually learn to function on its own. Taking that third one, let's take over the other two. Society is so busy functioning now at your cost that it forgets your needs, forgets about keeping you safe. And even keeping you safe means keeping you away from what they perceive as danger, because you can't go and explore anything new. Keeps you in certain limitations. If you recognise what it's there for, you can live within it, without actually giving into those controls. Certain things you have to do living in society, but you realise, okay, this is what it's there for. You find your safety within it, but you don't believe in what they're doing. You recognise capitalism there, how a thing is a company, a corporation. You deal with them as such. Consider this with voting, for instance. In any corporation, every 5 years, you vote with a new CEO. It does not change the company policy. It's just a new CEO. The thing is, when you actually vote in the government, you're contracting. As my side, you vote for contracted. And then whichever CEO gets in, it's not changing the government's going to do, and that's selling human rights. They might have different things they're doing first, but actually, it's all the same thing in the end. When you vote, you're contracting, and you keep holding it in place. You give them permission to sell you human rights. So it's about actually understanding how the whole thing works. If you do that, you can be in control. You don't have to actually give in to all these lies, or all the manipulations, or the fear. You're more in a position to actually maintain yourself. That's the first number one, safety. Yes, yes. You do protect yourself from the electromagnetic waves. You say no to the smart meters. Use the herbs to actually clear the toxins and boost your immune system and so on. And then you're safe. Okay.
Thank you very much. And then we move on to our next question, which is actually for me. Hi, Carrie. Question for you about Dragon Magic. Since you've done a lot, how has it changed your life and benefited you so far? And any amazing experiences you can share? I would say that when you embark on such a journey, it is an incredibly personal journey. So whatever experience I have had and however it has benefited me is not going to be the same for another individual. It also depends on your relationships with the dragons. It depends on your, I would say, past lives with the dragons, etc. So it really is an individual journey. But if I could generalize anything, I would say it is definitely about regaining power and stepping into your power and abolishing anything from your life that is not serving. Healing crises are welcome. So if you're going to embark on a journey with dragons and dragon magic, then be prepared for healing crisis for sure, but also be prepared for great things to come. In terms of any amazing experiences, can you share a personal one from me? would probably be, no, I'm going to keep it. It's too personal and it's too wonderful and it's too great. So you really do have to experience it for yourself. Yeah. But I would say once you start, you'll never stop and you'll never turn back and you'll never look back and you'll never want to look back. And I'm sure that anybody else here on the call who has ever done Drag and Magic will agree with me. Please put in the chat if you do. Any other words of encouragement for Stefan, for anyone who has done Drag and Magic, then please do pop that in the chat. Moving on to the next question. Although thanks, Stefan. Thanks for asking me a question. That's quite nice. Moving on. this is for you, Peter, not for me. How do I use the dragon runes and the dragon elf? Oh, sorry, excuse me. How do I use the dragon runes and the dark elf runes as I see on the notes? The names of the runes, but I don't see how to use them.
Okay. The main thing in those courses were the spells. The runes there to show you how they work. So you actually look at the individual runes, make up a spell, you understand it more. You also meditate on each rune to actually gain something from what it's doing to you. So they are like individual meditations in a way. You can look at the meaning of a rune, look at it, meditate on it, and it brings its quality to you. So you can actually work for ages going through these meditating the runes and getting more all the time. The main thing about them, though, is that the spells consist of dragon runes and that you can actually see how they're made up. You're not going to get it all at once, but basically, once you start working with these spells, you get a feeling of how these different energies combine to produce a spell. And this is going to be like a long-term enlightenment, really seeing how the forces of the universe work together to create everything you want. So the more you actually understand them by actually meditating with them and getting a feel of them and learning different spells, the more you're going to actually be able to create your own spells later on and speak the language and talk to dragons. Yeah, it's interesting with this one because it's like quite often you're just sitting there, say beside the dragon suit, just the dragon's only realize, well, you're speaking our language, and they come along. Doesn't mean you have to say everything in their language, they can still talk to you in your own language because it's telepathy. But it's interesting how this works. So this language is going to be putting in touch with those dragons and basically the powers of creation. So using the dragon spells is the first thing you can do. Apart from that, meditating the runes is putting in touch with those powers. These are the building blocks that make up everything. So understanding each rune itself as an individual and meditating with it is actually awakening something in you. So really, that's there just to meditate with. You can, with obviously the 108 dragon runes, you can spend a lot of time on that. Dark elf is much less, so you can go through this quicker. But actually, in the dark elf, of course, we do go through over the runes individually a bit more, and you kind of meditate with them. And you know, you actually get to feel a feeling of the qualities they bring to you. They really help you with that magic. You see with the dark elf course already that you understand the darkness and where the mind comes from and the stillness and all these things, and it helps the whole process of what you're doing on the dark elf course. Dragon magic is going to take a bit longer because there's a lot more of them, but they also make the whole magic more versatile. You can do anything with it. So take it gradually. It's like the course there is an introduction. You can actually start working with the dragons. The more you meditate with them, the more you're going to gain over time. You can do this for years. Dragons get closer, you understand the language more. The understanding of what those individual runes and the meaning will kind of grow in you. You feel the power of them. And they kind of build up in you. Remember what a rune means. A rune is a whisper or a secret. It's something to meditate on to actually let in to change you, expand your awareness.
Thank you. And moving on to the next question. I was going to add something about dragons, but really, it's just this endless conversation that you could have about dragons, in my opinion. So I won't. We'll just stop there. Moving on. So we're now going to talk about what the next question is about, Tanaka Dalam or Tanaka Dalam, however you choose to pronounce it. Interested in the Tanaka Dalam Sacred Sun. Could you please talk a little bit about these levels? That is the first part of this question.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, the basic Tanaka Dalam sort of put out first, that's what's on the... Now, there are actually many. And basically, they come to the same thing in the end, because Tanaka Dalam means inner power. You basically learn about inner power. There's just different flavors switched up in certain directions. Some give you more martial arts skills, some give you more physical vulnerability, some give you more black magic, some give you charisma, authority, so you can actually, you know, have more impact upon those around you. And others just add to that more and more and more, then layers, so you get stronger and stronger. So all the extra Tanaka Dalams are just building on those basics. Tanaka Dalam is basically inner power. And that's basically the power to do anything. It starts off the inner strength and your invulnerability because you want it for protection. But the common ones are health, also charisma, authority, healing. They're all part of it as well. And of course, there are aspects of it. Some of the 10-day dilemmas work with things like manifestation, abundance, those things as well. It's all you can do with your inner power. I am going to be putting up a whole set of tiger empowerments soon. You might notice it's also a Mac and Bio, there's the kind of single Mac as well, the tiger empowerments. So I'm going to put up a whole section of more 10 negative tiger empowerments, because a tiger is important to character in the 10 people to seek its power, its authority, its charisma. I'm going to put a whole load of those up within the next week or so. So people can keep developing that one as well, more and more and more. There's about 12 more layers to that one, 12 more levels. But there were many 10 negative elements out there. Probably I don't have them all because there's different teachers doing slightly with different names on them. But it's okay. So once you keep having more to grow and grow and grow, you keep going. You can do anything with them in the end, because it's about building your inner power.
Did you want to say a quick, brief something about your monthly contribution where you distribute the Tathagatalam and Chandali empowerment?
Yes. Basically, if you look at the Chandali and the Tathagatalam, I've written a little bit about that. If you want more, you can actually sign up to actually to a monthly donation, which is up to you. There's no fixed price on this. It's just whatever you feel you can afford. I keep giving empowerments weekly. Send a couple out each week. So you get more of these layers to keep going. So if you were really keen to practice, you can have more empowerments every week to keep going with it, adding more power to it. So that's an ongoing thing. If you look at my website, you can actually just sign up for that. Just make any kind of donation you like. You can set up like a PayPal or monthly donation or bank, whatever you like. And then I put you on the list and send out these empowerments. I send you the manual. I send out the empowerments to everybody in orb, so you receive in your own time, and you can just keep going with it.
And I can tell you it's like Christmas when they come. You're like, oh, what? Which one have I got now? And
Yes,
it's a real wonderful surprise when you open it up and you're like, oh, that's exciting. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Next part of this question is for Sacred Sun Level One, do you need to synchronize a time or can it be sent in an orb so that we can do it in our own time?
could all be sent in orbs if you prefer. I mean, sometimes I find it more personal to do it directly, because I can actually sense if there's any resistance and work through it and make sure it goes in. But the orbs generally work. I can send an orb, you receive in your own time. If there's a problem, contact me and we can make sure it's working. But yeah, they can all be done in orbs.
And with you going to Peru, what is the cutoff date for us being able to order and receive these empowerments?
I'm going to have my computer with me. There's internet there. I can still do it. I remember the ceremony's in the evening. I'll still have some time in the day to actually do stuff like that.
Thank you very much. All right, moving down. So, with anger, it feels like a contraction in the body, which, when let go of, although the anger making things still there, there can seem to be a sense of floating above and beyond the situation. I can see that that could be thought of as passivity, even when non-compliant. Is there a non-contracted aspect of anger?
Yes, assertiveness, basically. You see, anger is often seen as a bad feeling, because it's like it wants to go away, it's make you feel negative and conflictual and so on. If you realize it's there to be assertive, it's a whole different thing. It's about learning to be assertive. Aggression builds up as you need to be more assertive, because it's like things are not going your way, people are in the way or messing you around and treading over your boundaries. The more assertive you learn to be, the less aggressive you have to be about it. But you see, the same energy of aggression and assertiveness, but all part of anger. We have often get angry to be assertive with. So when you learn to assert yourself to get what you want done, it's all very positive. You find it very expensive. When you actually assert yourself and something's done, you feel so good about it, because you've achieved something. It's not like being in conflict. When you express you have a conflict and fighting more, it doesn't feel good, because it's not going anywhere. You get fed up a bit and tired, and the energy's going down. When you assert yourself and make a difference, it's a whole different feeling. It's about being assertive. That's the positive side of anger.
When a person has been sick most of their life, is this because this was the only future that they could envision? And how can we manifest a future of health when we only have known sickness?
That's part of it. Remember, we have a mixture of things. It's not just past or future, it's a whole thing. Every creation has layers. It goes way back to the past and projects into the future. We see a pattern we've created in our lives. Starts early in childhood with your conditioning, your emotions that you suppress, and then sooner or later you see this repeating, and that's your own future, you know. So yes, you do project it there. And then there's almost like a belief in that, and it's fixed in place. The belief builds up with experience. It gets bigger and bigger the further you go. So really, it's not just about the future, it's about the past as well. You have to look at the emotions, the beliefs you've formed, what emotions you hold inside. If you've been sick all your life, you have to look at, well, what's been held inside you all this time? Which emotions did you suppress? Where you've been controlled, where you've been shamed, where power is lost, what emotions you can't express and have been pushed away. There's various rules and beliefs form that you can't express this emotion, you don't have to express that one. All this is what's holding you back. Healing starts when you learn to welcome your emotions, whatever it is. It might be hopelessness, you know, it's not just all the anger and stuff you suppress. There are things that you go through where you suddenly feel apathetic, you can't be bothered because there's been hopelessness, there's been a frustration. Sometimes it's just numbness, you numb out, and even that you suppress because you don't want to feel numb. So you almost become unconscious of being unconscious. You can see how many layers you can have. So all these old emotions are keeping the system stuck. When you start welcoming emotions, you can feel all kinds of things. Numbness, apathy, hopelessness, the giving up, the fear, the grief. You know, all this has to come out. Behind that is often the anger, the guilt. Quite often we have guilt because we are not allowed to feel angry. Consider this one. Guilt is the anger you don't have a right to have. When you allow anger, there's no longer guilt. Because you learn to express it properly and realize it's not a problem. It's natural instinct to get something done, to be assertive, to make change. Guilt is often what's holding all that in, so you can't express it. So the worst emotion is actually the guilt and the shame, because they have no redeeming value. Every other emotion is there for a purpose. Fear is there for a flight of light. It actually puts you on peak performance. Anger is there to assert yourself. Grief is almost like a release of old emotions, so you start again. All these emotions, when they're expressed, actually have a positive effect. But guilt and shame don't. They cripple you. So really, the journey of when you've always been ill with your life, you would go to the emotions that have always been there since the beginning. What have you learned to hold inside and stay the same? You know, if you've been ill all your life, there's a major pattern that's always been there that you think is normal. So changing that whole thing is not going to be easy at first because you think this is normal. When you start working on those feelings and realize there's all going to be all kinds of layers there, the guilt, the contact with parents, things where you agree to something, all these things have made you hold those emotions inside and not express yourself. There are power losses to people. This is a big one too, the power loss. If your power is drained by other people, you're not going to be helped because there's no vital force there. That keeps you down. So we can all be healed when you start. We can just start this journey of actually welcoming emotions, cutting those ties, taking your power back, getting rid of shame. And you find everything to be healed. But yes, having no belief in the future is a part of that. That's almost like cements it in place. The belief is stuck, that you won't change. But the cause is all this part of the emotion.
And you were talking about, obviously, all of the Tanaka Dalams, etc. before. Is it possible that you make a prayer for the application of all Tanaka Dalam and energies, like the Dragon Sutra, which combines all energies of dragons, so that we... So that we have one prayer, but the intention directs the energy, so that we don't have to learn all 1,000 different prayers of Tanaka Dalam. Because I have to say, I do pick and choose every day which one I want, and then I say that prayer and blah, blah, blah. But it would be good to have it.
Exactly how it works. See, with the Dragon Sutra, I always attune everything to the Dragon Sutra. So if you've got that, then that'll trigger every empowerment you have. Because it is quite a universal one.
Yeah.
If you look at the Dalam prayers, although they're individual ones for individual powers, you find some of the common ones given are basic Islamic prayers, simply because in Java these days it's really Islamic. If you're not Muslim, it doesn't matter. You don't have to use those prayers. It's about having some focus of your spiritual path which keeps them aligned. I find the Dragon Sutra perfect for all of them. So I do actually, for everybody who's done the Dragon course, the Dragon Sutra will trigger all of them because I actually tune them that way. I make every empowerment so it is attuned to the Dragon Sutra. So that one, just doing that every day will trigger all the empowerments you've got. Also the breathing. Remember, there's a certain amount of breathing. Once you're in there, that breath contains them all. So you just do the breathing and you're absorbing all of them at the same time. So just the breathing and the Dragon Sutra will do it all. You don't have to remember hundreds of prayers. Yeah, I think of what they are. I don't think of the prayers. I think of the different types of Tanya Dalam and just have the intention triggering them all.
And it does say in all of the manuals that they're all automatic anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Once you've got them, they tend to function automatically in emergencies, but obviously in practice, it's going to build the power. So just doing the breathing and the Dragon Sutra every day is going to keep building that power. Some involve mudras, like the tiger mudra is simply the hands clasped together one, like this. And so all the different tiger imbalances will be triggered by that one once you've got them. So I'll do that. I'll hold a certain mudra with the breathing in the morning. So there's a few mudras to go through, which are change as I do the breathing. So because they don't all have mudras, but there's a few. That helps me remember all the different ten head balances of breathing as well. This one for tiger, this one's for Kali, there's a dragon one is henceforward. You know, there's few mudras we use of them too.
And obviously setting the intention as well. So when you are reciting your Dragon Sutra, setting the intention that all empowerments and attunements ever received by Peter Aziz or anyone else will be empowered within as you're doing that.
They'll do that anyway, even without saying it, because I've attached it to the Dragon Sutra that way. Mm. Once you've done the Dragon Course, every empowerment you get is going to be triggered by the Dragon Sutra.
Moving beyond the Dragon Sutra, what is a good next step after the underground journeying course for anybody who is wanting to continue their shamanic training?
Particularly in shamanic journeying, there is the shamanic empowerment home course. There's also the shamanic healing professional course. They give you more methods of journeying and the muscle testing, like regression, how to work with a person's blockages and so on. They're all involved with the shamanic path. So yeah, do those ones next.
And then thank you very much for the pronunciations on the next one. Right, if you bear with me. Is Ilmu Kodam Sengoro Makan different from Harry Winsaro's Sengoro Makan?
The Ilmu Kodam is different to Kodam. So Sengoro Makan is simply the tiger empowerment. You know, you have the power of the tiger in you and it gives you strength and charisma. The Ilmu Kodam Sengoro Makan is actually a Kodam of that power. So apart from that power, you've got this spirit with you, like a tiger, magical tiger spirit that's following you around, giving you extra power. And it can do things for you independently as well. So that's the difference, is a Kodam.
Going back to Tanaga Dalams very quickly. If we are already doing the Arabic prayers for Tanaga Dalam, what happens to all of the Tanaga Dalams we've already done? Will the Dragon Magic Tanaga Dalam from the 13 Initiation Dragon Magic and replace them all?
Yep. It will.
There we go. That was the quickest answer I've ever received.
It was, yes. Single word. Yes.
I wasn't even ready with my mouse, let alone click the button. All right. Moving on to the next question, and I don't even know where that is. Right, yeah. Excuse me. How can I get my granddaughter, who is rebelling, to take your course, Take Back Your Power? She's too busy going to the gym and applying for jobs.
It's okay, she's rebelling. That's a... Well, it doesn't mean you have to let her do everything. Obviously, she needs something to rebel against. That's part of getting strong. But remember, teenagers are going to rebel. They're not always going to do what you say. They've got to find their own way. Just leave her to it. She might come to it in her own time when she finds it's a good idea. If you simply leave it there, you know, this is going to empower you. She might come to a point where she says, yeah, that's a good idea. She's not going to do it while you tell her, though. That's the thing, you know, they get to a certain age, they go against you. Particularly against parents, because they're brought up listening to parents. They're at each point where they don't want to listen to it anymore. They want to find their own way. So don't push it. Simple. You can leave it there for her to find in her own time. And you carry on letting them fighting over other things, you know, because obviously they need something to fight against. You still exert your will of what you think, and she'll exert her will of what she thinks, and that's healthy. She'll find her boundaries. That's the best way you can help her, really. Help her build those boundaries. Give her enough resistance for her to fight back. And that's all.
So Stefan is, I love your consistency, Stefan, and I love your persuasion. How is the astral projection and lucid dreaming course coming along, Peter?
I'm building towards it. Some of the other things I've done have been almost like important prerequisites. Because I would have realised that some of us in the past, these things have been easy. There's many problems in the present of how people are and in their addictions and what they take their time that's actually changing it. So a lot of the old methods don't work. I'm busy changing all kinds of things that are more important first. Get you back into the magical consciousness where you actually more control of your life. There'll be a point then it gets easy. Now, the actual course I put on the Dragon Ascension system is really going to help with this. It's going to actually get all your chakras working and build up power and get you back online. And this is going to make it much easier. So I'm putting things out step by step. Next one I'm about to put out is a Lilith Initiation course. Because I've spoken about her before, because she's an important one to actually come back to your own power and be individual. Help break through a lot of the illusions. Because these are all what's going to make it easier. If I was just to give techniques for astral projection, a lot of people find it too much. You won't do it because you have the usual excuse, it's taking too long. Other addictions take the energy away. It's not going to happen. All these other things around it need addressing. So this has been a simple course in the past, astral projection and lucid dreaming. These days, people are not just doing it. You've got to look at why. So all the other things I'm doing are preparing for this, not just for that, but obviously this is a big part of it. I'm taking into consideration. So when I do these other courses to bring you back to your magic, it includes everything. You come back to all your abilities. Shaping your life, of course, is a big one, but also you'll be able to have more astral projection, lucid dreaming, everything else you want to do to actually be whole as a spiritual person. You're kind of working on the whole rather than one aspect, which alone doesn't work.
Can you please explain what are the three deities or spirits worshipped by the powers that be of the world?
A lot of them actually worship themselves. The whole kind of dark path is about self-deification. They want to become God. There's different ways to do that. It's not a wrong idea in itself, it's the way they do it. You can't do it from ego. It's a problem. And people don't understand, a lot of people are not understanding that. They almost think that the whole idea of self-deification is ego, but it isn't. Because to actually become a deity, you really have to come whole inside and look at your relationship to the universe and where you find divinity and so on. What they do is say, no, I want to have power over everything. I want to be the God. Therefore, I control everybody else, trample everybody else. It's a whole different path. Ego takes over. They have certain gods along the way, which usually ones which encourage this, more demons rather than actual deities. Yet, demons don't really like that either. Demons are just, they're not bad things because they actually seem to, they're very really unconscious and more powerless, or they'll kind of do what you expect them to do. So if you're actually working on those lines, they'll help with that. So they're often working with various demons, various pantheons of demons, to actually try and deify themselves.
Are
Cthulhu
you
is a
ready?
big place. You know, from the Necronomicon, the big giant squid thing, which is supposed to be a big part of creation, the sleeper. That's a big one from these days because it's about willpower and having no morality.
Could you say the name again? I think I might have spoken over you.
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu, thank you very much. Moving on to the next question, then. I have noticed that when darkness and evil energy starts to build on one's system, and if you are protected from it, this intelligent energy then goes to your money, relationships, careers, family, and tries to get you through those modes as it can't directly get to you due to your protection. So, how do we protect our money, relationships, family, etc., from such evil intelligent energy from getting us?
Of course, if somebody's trying to destroy you, they'll try and get anything they can. Not just you. Consider this how they the work with war. You know, you don't just stay in a castle because then they waste your lands, destroy your food and everything else around you. The whole idea of war was to take it to the enemy's shores and lay waste to their lands and instead. So quite often you have to get rid of what's harming you. Hunt it out. Get it. But as well, it also means protecting those other things as well. Don't just protect yourself. Have protection for your money, your friends, for your relationships, everything. When we do the psionics, for instance, we get charts for all those things and put the protection out there and neutralize the negative forces. We take the whole into account. You are not just your person, it's about your whole life, your dreams, everything you want. It all has to be protected. But also, you have to hunt out the enemy, not just be passive about it, because they will keep finding ways in other ways. Every shield can be taken down too late if you keep working at it. The idea is always to destroy the enemy before it can do any harm.
Are Kodams originally Persian entities, as the word is in, excuse me if I don't pronounce this right, as the word is in Parsi? Now were they introduced in Javanese mysticism and spirituality?
It
How were
is
they
actually,
introduced?
yes.
Sorry, apologies. How were they
It is. I mean,
introduced?
basically, it is a Persian word which means one who serves, basically. The Codans is the servers. In other languages, like in magic, they're called servitors. You know, anything which serves you, that's the Codan. They have certain, they've achieved certain types of spirit according to their culture, like in Java, because it's very much Islamic now. They've often used it to describe the kind of Hafado angels as the Codans. But some of the actual traditional Codans, especially if you see the new ones on my site, were different types of jungle spirit. Any spirits helping you was a Codan, basically.
And I am going to ask one final question. I know there are many, many, many in the chat, and we don't have the time to go through all of them today because Peter Dew has to facilitate a workshop shortly after this. So I will ask the next question as the final question. And if your question has not been asked, then please do pop it in the MeWe group. And Peter, I will ask that you turn your attention to there today or tomorrow to have a look, probably tomorrow, by the time you finish the workshop. It would be late your time. Right. Where are we? Sorry, I've lost myself. What is the
Next
next question?
question.
Just like, pulling out the time a little bit more. Here we go. Can you please talk about the Benduins? I think that's how you say it. And
Bedouins.
Yeah, and their magic, like necromancy.
Okay, there's not much about these days. You see, they become very Islamic. Egypt, all that area, is now Islamic. They still have their own practices, which they do quite secretly. Like, for instance, if you do the Egypt trip, it's like the guy you go with Sayed, he's actually the head of the Bedouin tribes there. So all the places we go, he's got his family in his place out, so we can get into them. So they still have the Egyptian knowledge, even though on the surface they tend to be Muslim and tend to be Sufi. When you meet them, they've got little Sufi dances going on, the Sufi healing, all that going on. It's adapted to the kind of present climate, basically. They tend to be Muslim, but they've got the mystical knowledge behind. I don't see them doing much necros anymore because actually the Islam is almost like lessened that side of it. They have the spiritual practices, so they're more into the healing and enlightenment. It's all the good stuff. The necromancy, you know, it's just hard to do there these days because it's, against Islam. The priests don't use death for it. They can't really do that side so much. Maybe they got it really secretly. It has to be very, very low key. So basically, they've got Sufi prayers. They've got their own practices where they still do the meditations in the temples and the pyramids because they're the ones with access. You find his family has been the guardians of the pyramids for the last 800 years. They're able to get us in. It's good. And it's like, I said, a lot of this stuff you're not allowed to do under kind of the Egyptian law because it's Islamic. Well, they have the practices secretly. They still use the Egyptian magic. And they have a lot of Sufi healing as well. That's the basic modern practice they have now. I still love their camels, of course.
Wonderful, thank you so much. And a reminder, please, there is the workshop happening in 30 minutes. So if you are not a magical membership member, then please, you can still join, and you can do that using the link that I have given below. If you are a member, then please do make sure that you check your emails and register to get the joining link so that you can join the Zoom. And if anyone is interested in the new Kodam empowerments, and I have put the link again in the chat for you there as well. Thank you, Peter, Carrie, and plus Catherine's dog. Did I miss a dog? Oh, I
There
love
was a
dogs.
dog here in the background
I miss
somewhere,
the
yeah.
dog. I miss the dog. Maybe we can see the dog again, Catherine. Thank you very much. So this is, oh, so cute. this is technically February's Q&A. So the next one will be at the beginning of March, and it will be a student Q&A topic to follow. And then the next magical membership workshop information also to follow. So please do keep your eyes peeled for that one. Is there anything else you would like to say, Peter, before I close the Q&A on your behalf at this time?
No, that's all for today. Unless you're on the next workshop, then we have plenty more to say about Codams and
Yes, thank you very much. And for those of you that will be traveling to Peru, your trip is going to be a lot shorter than mine and Peter's. I'll see you there
gin. Okay, we see you there, yes.
in about 3 decades or something, however long my plane ride is. And I look forward to meeting you in person. Otherwise, I look forward to seeing the rest of you online again in March. Oh, and don't forget, tomorrow we start the Ultimate Healing online. Tomorrow, for me, it's night time. I don't know what time it is. Sorry, off the top of my head, for those of you that are in
6 o'clock
Europe, but
here, so it'll be about 11 a.m. UK time, I think.
thank you very much. And whatever it is time for you in the Americas. So if you have already completed the online part one or any of the point holding at all, whether it be online or in person, then you're very, very welcome to join us. Join the cohort, join the fun, in inverted commas. and you'll find more information in your inbox. So please do check there if you would like to join us and get going with those workshops. All right, my loves, thank you so much. See you again. Have a wonderful
Okay.
rest of your weekend. Take care, everybody.
See some of
Bye.
you soon in half an hour.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.